He is not here. He has been raised. He has been raised. The women go to the tomb with their spices and all the things they need to prepare the body of Jesus for a proper burial. And he's not there. And they hear the word, he has been raised. Now, according to Mark's gospel, nobody ever hears about it. Because the women tell no one about it. Because they were afraid and they were amazed. But don't worry, because the scriptures also give us other testimonies, and we've read two today. It's as if, when Peter goes to the house of Cornelius, you know the story of Peter and Cornelius. Cornelius is a Gentile. Peter is a Jew. Peter's a good kosher Jew. He has this vision of this sheep coming down with all these animals, and God tells him, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter says, no, by no means, because I keep kosher. I can't eat that stuff. And God says to him, what I have called clean, you must not call unclean. And three times this happens, this vision. And at the same time that's happening, Cornelius is sending people to the house where Peter is staying, and because he has been told that he needs to hear the word from Peter. So Cornelius the Gentile sends a group of people to go get Peter, gather him up. Peter is in Joppa, he's hanging out, and just as soon as those visions are done, a knock on the door, the people from Cornelius come to the door and ask for Peter. The next day, Peter agrees to go with them. They go from Joppa, where Peter is, to Caesarea, where Cornelius is, and takes a day to get there. When he gets there, Peter gets to the door of Cornelius. And he says, you know, it's not lawful for a Jew to enter the house of a Gentile. But God has told me to not call anyone unclean. And he takes the step over the threshold, into the house of Cornelius. Y'all remember Neil Armstrong saying, one small step for man, but one giant step for mankind. He's got nothing on this. This is just absolutely amazing. Not only because it's Gentile and Jew, which, you know, there's always this tension between them. In fact, Jews called Gentile sinners. That's just what they are. Gentile sinners. So, here's Peter. He's entering into the house. But it's bigger than that, too. It's not only Jew and Gentile, but when Peter enters into that house, when Jesus tells Peter, you must not call unclean what I have called clean, he is also doing away with every distinction of us versus them. That's how big this is. Every time we want to draw up lines and say us against them, think about Peter crossing that threshold. You must not call unclean what I have called clean. And then Peter does this amazing thing. He starts talking about Jesus to Cornelius and to his family. And he says to him, now, you may have read the Gospel of Mark and not have realized that anybody saw Jesus when he was resurrected. But I'm here to tell you, I saw him, as did the rest of the disciples. In fact, I had lunch with him one day. And then he says, as testimony to the resurrection, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead. That he is the judge of the living and the dead. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's anxiety gets up a little bit, right? Oh, I'm going to get judged, right? No? No, y'all are just calm and collected, right? No, because that's how it is, right? We always think, well, judgment, that means condemnation, that means we got to do everything right, this and that, and that. No, 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 no. The whole point of it is that he is the judge of the living and the dead. Not us. And not all the other things that we allow to judge us. Right? It's not a political system judging us over against another political system. It's not Facebook and TikTok, whatever, judging us, right? Because we do. We allow that to happen. We look at these things and we see these curated lives on Facebook, right? Only the best parts, it seems. And then we say, well, our life isn't like that. Well, nobody's life is like that. These are curated for you to see only the best parts. But we allow that to enter in. And then we judge ourselves. And probably more harshly than anyone else, we judge ourselves. And we even project that judgment on God judging us. No, no, no. He is the judge of the living and the dead. Let no one else judge you. Judge no one else. Now, the women in Mark's gospel don't bear witness to the resurrection, but here at Lake Chelan Lutheran Church, some women do bear witness to the resurrection. So I'm going to pick on Lynette here, because Lynette is our intern, and she is part-time here, and she's part-time doing hospice care up in Okanagan County. Woo, he's already going, woo. Exactly, right? So she goes up into the hills of Okanagan County. She's visiting people in their homes, you know, and she's going past these signs that are saying, danger, no trespassing, I have my AK-47, I've got all these things, these signs that she's passing, and she's going, I'm going to go visit this person, okay. All right. And so there's this rise in judgment, right? It's like, oh my gosh. Well, Jesus has a different judgment. And the judgment to Lynette was, stop judging, don't worry, I got this, I'm the judge. She arrives, and unbelievable, beautiful, beautiful visitations, to the point where now her favorite, she looks forward the most to those visits where she's going up in those hills and visiting the people that she had judged to be, oh boy, very different than me. Right. God's judgment is, do not call unclean what I have called clean. Do not condemn what I have not condemned. That's a picture of the resurrection. Jesus died and was raised to new life in order to unite everyone. To unite things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth. To be the judge of the living and the dead. And that also means, folks, pardon the bad poetry, but the judge of the blue and the red. And we all have to live in this world. And we all have to work our way through it. And yeah, we got to think about things that we agree with and things we don't agree with and act accordingly. But we are not the judge. Jesus is the judge. And as we hold that in our hearts, we can move forward. And we don't have to condemn. We can disagree. We do not have to condemn. In fact, we are told to do not. He is the judge of the living and the dead. He who has defeated death and has been raised. So that's one way in which our readings have allowed us to talk about people who are also have seen Jesus risen. And now we have Lynette over here, who's another witness. You can talk to her about it later. And then also then, there's this other story about Saul, who the children's story is about. But when he's talking to people, he's saying about the resurrection, there were a whole bunch of people who saw him. Right? Cephas, that's Peter. The disciples. And then to about 500 other people. And then to one as untimely born, he was shown to me. That's the big light. The risen Jesus shown to Paul. And then he says this great thing. He says, as I am least of the apostles because I am unfit to be called a disciple because I persecuted the church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and God's grace to me has not been in vain. Unfit to be an apostle. Whoa, what a judgment. And yet, God chose him. Well, another story. On Wednesday afternoon, Virginia and I had gone over to Seattle, and we went and we visited with dear friend Mary Morgan and her partner and their new baby. How old is that baby? Like 3 months? 2 months? Something like that?
Okay.
And so we went and visited because it was just, it's a wonderful thing. Well, Mary Morgan, you might know, some of you do know and most of you don't know, Mary Morgan had went through years of horrible addiction to heroin. And I mean, it was really dark. And it was to the place where we were judging that she may die. And speaking later with her and others, here's her life. On the one hand, wondering and despairing that she would ever get out of this addiction. And on the other hand, obsessed with the next hit of heroin. Bouncing between those two. Over here, shame and self-blame and self-loathing. And over here, more of the same. And being absolutely helpless against what she was feeling. Oh, yeah. She was judged quite a lot. You can imagine. But God intervened. And God brought her out of that addiction. And she's been sober for a long time now. She's been clean for I don't know how many years, 7. But anyway, we go to her house, this beautiful place, and there she is. And she's talking about mother things, you know? Like how much sleep they're getting and not getting, you know? Feeding the child, changing the child, all of these things. Just normal, typical things. And it's just this beautiful, beautiful encounter with this child and mother and father. Oh, rich. Amazing. It's like, do not judge. Jesus will judge. And that's the judgment. Jesus is for healing and for wholeness and for life. And Mary Morgan's life has been a witness to the resurrection. The resurrected life. I have to just tell you this. I know this is absolutely true. You want to know how I know? There we are. On Thursday, Virginia and I are driving home on Highway 90. And it dawns on me and I just start laughing. And she says, "What is it?" And I said, "We just visited Mary Morgan, her partner, not her husband, her partner, who is a carpenter." All right? And their little baby's name? Theo. God. Theodore. Gift of God. They call him Theo. Do you think the story's true or not? This holy family, right? What an incredible story of resurrection and redemption. This amazing family. God will judge. Oh, and God's judgment is good. Because Jesus is the one. I got to tell you one more thing. Sorry. Before we get to that. Okay, So, in the psalm today, God's mercy endures forever. It's the, Psalm 118, it's the last of the psalms, it's called Halal, the hymns of praise that happens during Passover. And then they do one Psalm 136, which has 26 verses, all of which end, God's mercy endures forever. God's mercy endures forever. Let's practice that.
God's mercy endures forever.
God's mercy endures beyond our us and them divisions and judgments. It continues beyond addiction. It continues beyond death itself. God's mercy endures forever. And now, Jesus is the one. Now, he was handed over. And he was tried with false witnesses. But he has been raised to become the truth. Because
God's mercy endures forever.
He was crucified violently by the state. And he was raised as the Prince of Peace because
God's mercy endures forever.
He was tried in resentment and in hostility. And he was raised as forgiveness.
God of mercy endures forever.
And he was hated and despised, but he was raised as love.
God of mercy endures forever.
He was put on trial. But he has become the judge.
God's mercy endures forever.
That's what the resurrection is. Allow yourselves to be judged by the peaceful, loving, forgiving one, the truthful one. That judgment is freedom. And life beyond hatred, beyond resentment, beyond illness, beyond the grave. That is life. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Thanks be to God. Amen.